sometime between the 7th or the 9th century, St. Angus came to Balquhidder. It's a beautiful valley surrounded by forested hills in the Scottish Highlands. And moved by its beauty, he said that this was a thin place, a place where the veil that separates heaven and earth was very thin, almost transparent. A thin place, a place that is translucent to the divine. The story of the Transfiguration is a story of a thin place. It's a luminous story, a bright, shining story of a mystical encounter, not only between God and God's beloved, but also between those who are at the center of the story too, Moses and Elijah, and those who were watching, Peter and James and John, and also, of course, us, who are watching all of them, even from this space, many centuries later. This is what makes the story of the Transfiguration such a perfect story for the final Sunday of Epiphany. It is so bright with light. Epiphany is a season filled with aha moments, illuminating moments. It begins with a bright, shining star that leads magical travelers from a far-off land to the young child Jesus. We witness Jesus' baptism, where the heavens burst open and God's voice declares, "This is my Son, the Beloved." This year during Epiphany, we heard the wisdom of Jesus as he described the new ways that we are called to be the community of followers of God's beloved. Other years in Epiphany, you'll hear stories of miraculous healings and exorcisms, and all of these stories are intended to peel back the layers of the veil between heaven and earth and to evoke our ahas and reveal to us the glory and the identity of Jesus, God's Word made flesh and dwelling among us. And then always on this last Sunday of Epiphany, always we are brought to this thinnest place on the top of the mountain. The story of Transfiguration, where the veil between heaven and earth is so thin that the light is almost blinding. And we hear once again God's voice saying, "This is my Son, my beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." And yet, this story of Transfiguration, the most ultimate of epiphanies, is also the perfect story for the last Sunday before Lent begins. Now, you may have noticed that while those stories of Epiphany are filled with epiphanies, they're filled with aha moments of light and greater clarity and fuller understanding, that's not the response of the disciples in this story of the Transfiguration. They witness this bright, shining event, but rather than evoking from the disciples an aha, now we fully understand who Jesus is, instead, this moment of transfiguration, of ultimate revealing, produces fear. fear, such great fear, in fact, that they fall to the ground. In the other Gospels, they say they're terrified, scared to death. And rather than producing fuller or deeper understanding or knowledge of who Jesus is, in a way, the disciples get moved to kind of unknowing or misunderstanding. Notice that as soon as Peter suggests a very logical solution to this epiphany, a very practical solution that fits right in with Jewish tradition, build a tabernacle to house the holy. That's what good Jews did. As soon as he suggests this very logical solution, he's cut off. He's interrupted by a cloud. His knowledge, you might say, gets clouded. And the cloud announces to him to stop talking and just listen. Don't try to contain this mystery. Don't try to deduce this mystery or understand this mystery. Just listen. Preacher and theologian Barbara Brown Taylor reminds us that the Bible is full of these types of encounters, where things seem really clear and clouded at the same time. She writes, "What if the whole Bible is less a book of certainties than it is a book of encounters, in which a staggeringly long parade of people run into God, each other, life, and are never the same again?" I mean, what don't people run into in the Bible? Not just terrifying clouds and hair-raising voices, like what we heard today, but also crazy relatives, persistent infertility, armed enemies, and deep depression, along with life-saving strangers, miraculous children, food in the wilderness, and knee-wobbling love. Biblical encounters. Encounters like these have a way of breaking those biblical people open and rearranging what they think they know for certain. Us too, if we let them. And maybe that's the point. Maybe that's the point. When our certainties become casualties, when they get rearranged, there is room for divine movement in our lives. When our certainties about who's who and what's what and where we believe our life is going and how we're going to get there, when all those certainties become casualties, there's room for divine movement in our lives. And this, I'm pretty darn certain, is what all that fear on the mountaintop is about. Letting go of certainty and making room for divine movement. Peter, James, and John were really certain about who Jesus was and who they were as his disciples. So certain that Peter had the audacity to rebuke Jesus when he foretold his suffering and death. They were pretty certain that they were seeing the holy presence of God with Elijah and Moses and that bright, shining Jesus. So certain that Peter had this logical idea of building tabernacles to house the holy. And then the cloud. And then the fear. And then the divine movement. Friends, if you have been looking for a way to trade in all your certainties for some new divine movement in your life, that opportunity starts this week. Lent is a season where we are invited into a thin place of nearness to God, but a place that is also thick with unknowable holy presence, if we let it. It is a season where we are invited, or maybe we should say it is a season where we are summoned to step away from the routine and the certainty and to welcome the newness and the uncertainty of divine movement in our lives. What will you let go of so that you can be present to this movement in your life? It's unnerving and frightening to step into the cloud of unknowing. More often than not, things get scary before they get holy. But a beautiful thing happens on this mountaintop. And in this cloud, Jesus comes to us and touches us and says, "Get up and don't be afraid." God's beloved is with us, and we are God's beloved too. Jesus accompanies us down the mountain so that whatever comes next, we're up to it. May each of us have a blessed Lent, thick with holiness and divine mercy.